When we read in Genesis 1 verse 26 that God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," we should notice that he used the plural terms us and our, confirming what the disciple John said of Christ in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word," that is Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Then we should observe that God said, "Let us make man in our image," whereas the writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus Christ was the express image of his person. The problem with man is that he wants to be what God did not intend him to be. Augustus Strong in his Systematic Theology avers that God's intention was to make man in his likeness in respect of two particular divine qualities, namely personality and holiness. Personality revealing intellect, affection, and will. Holiness as a basic disposition. All of us exercise our minds, our emotions, and our wills every day, and holiness is man's basic aspiration or desire. Even the most hardened criminal responds to the message of the gospel because it offers him cleansing from sin and holiness as a consequence. The problem with man is that he wants to be identical to God instead of being satisfied with his likeness. God is the creator and center of our universe, but man would like to be in his place. Instead of being theocentric, man wants to be egocentric. God will not and cannot abdicate his supremacy. Satan or the devil knew all this from experience because he tried to displace God before time began. We read about it in Isaiah 14. Satan said, "I will ascend, I will exalt myself, and I will be like the Most High." But God defeated him and cast him down to hell. Consequently, man's attempt to be like God was inspired by the devil, for we read in Genesis 3 that he told Eve in the Garden of Eden that on eating of the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened and you shall be as God. That was the cardinal point in the temptation. Since then, man has been in rebellion against God, for he is a God unto himself, and the center of his own little world, perfectly egocentric, and to a great extent, eccentric. The whole of humanity would be saved if man was willing to accept the supremacy of God and the lordship of Christ. But the resistance comes from the wanting to do your own thing. In contrast, look at the life of Jesus Christ. He was co-equal with God and the express image of his Father, yet he became obedient to God and God's way in order to redeem humanity. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the eve of his crucifixion, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." It was a mark of perfect unity with the Father and of God-centeredness or theocentricity. Therefore, the death of Christ becomes the means of bringing or returning man to his God-appointed place of unity with him and of consequent peace and harmony. The sin of rebellion against God and of doing your own thing must be cleansed by the blood of the cross of Calvary and by making Christ the center of your life. In other words, you become Christocentric, and in doing so, you immediately become theocentric, and you are put in a place like it was before the fall to be in harmony with God and the universe. The secret of Paul's life rested on a statement he made on the Damascus Road. He was a Jewish rabbi who knew that Jesus was crucified, but he could not believe that he had risen from the dead and was alive. He was a witness to the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr, who said he saw Jesus in the heavens standing up to welcome him, but Paul thought it was impossible. He obtained a commission from the Sanhedrin to go to the city of Damascus to arrest any who believed in this new religion and bring them bound to Jerusalem for punishment. But suddenly a great light shone upon him, and he was thrown from his horse and heard Jesus tell him that it was he that he was persecuting. Paul was convinced that Jesus was alive, and accepting him as Savior, he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" When he said, "Lord," he made Jesus the center of his life. Whereas his life revolved around himself before, he now revolved around Christ. he became Christocentric and theocentric, so much so that later he was able to say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Would you like your life to be in harmony with God and His universe? Then take Jesus as your Savior and make Him Lord of your life today. Will you take Jesus to be your guide? His love will brighten the way. Safe in His keeping, you may abide. Will you take Jesus today?